We've all heard it before. It's who you know. Now hear why it's so true. Welcome to Social Capital, a weekly podcast where we dive into social relationships and how the investment you put into them establishes trust, reciprocity, and value within your network and community. Your host, Lori Hybe, will connect with top professionals and dive into their best networking stories and techniques to share with you.
Hey, everybody, Lori Hybe here. Welcome to the Social Capital Podcast. Our show notes are found at socialcapitalpodcast.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at LJ Hybe and Facebook at Social Capital with Lori Hybe. All links mentioned will be found in the show notes. This week's guest is Joel Walsh. Joel started Green Clean Maine in the fall of 2007 as a way to test his hunch that he could make money and do good for the environment at the same time. This has proven to be true, as the company has grown to be the largest residential cleaning company in Maine, creating more than 30 living wage jobs and providing clean homes to thousands of families. Joel lives in Portland, Maine with his wife and black lab mix, Cleo. Joel, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Lori. I'm excited to be here.
All right. So tell me, how did you get into the cleaning business?
Well, I was selling advertising for a sustainable living publication. And in order to be in this publication, in order to even advertise with it, you had to be environmentally preferable in some way. And we had advertisers from all dining. We had a bunch of different categories, but one in particular was like home and garden. So I couldn't, in the home and garden category, we had a, it was meant to be a resource guide for people who were trying to spend their money in more sustainable ways and more healthy ways. And so we had a hole in the home cleaning category because every single time I tried to call a green cleaning service, they all said they were too busy and they had too many customers. So that like set a light bulb off in my head. I thought, there must be a market here for this kind of a thing. So I looked into it, and I always actually enjoyed cleaning, and I was looking for something I could start on my own and branch out on my own and go into business for myself. And when I investigated the opportunity, it just seemed like it was too good to pass up. And so that's how I got started with two clients and a vacuum cleaner and a mop, basically. And, you know, an old Volvo station wagon. So that was my entry into green cleaning, the world of green cleaning.
And from what I see on your website, you actually make your own cleaning products. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. I started doing that because my clients wanted environmentally friendly products, but the products that I was buying, even the commercial ones, they either weren't actually very environmentally friendly or they didn't work. And I needed products that were going to work and work quickly because I had to be able to provide an environmentally friendly service with the same results as a traditional service. So I just developed my own formulas through trial and error and doing some research on my own.
That's fantastic. All right. So with regards to the home, in-home service businesses, where do you see the future for that?
Well, that's a really interesting question. In-home service businesses, it's of interest in in-home service businesses from Silicon Valley and you know, venture-backed firms really trying to crack this nut of how can, you know, these big venture capital-backed firms are asking the question, you know, how can we figure out how to tap into this $400 billion marketplace? I mean, it's a massive market. And so Google is going at it with products like Nest and you know, I can envision a future in which your home have like a Google smartphone and like tap into your entry and exit system in your home, and your Nest thermostat will alert the client that you know, alert you that your house cleaner's there. And then when they leave, you'll get an alert that they left, and it'll all be interconnected and booked through Google. This is just an example. Amazon Home Services is trying to do the same thing. Amazon wants to be the platform that hosts all of your shopping, including home services. So there's a lot of effort and attention in that direction, but I really believe that there is always going to be a space for operators on the ground, companies like ours who actually recruit, hire, and train the people and have the systems to do that and, you know, are acting locally. Because at the end of the day, this is a kind of service that has to be, by definition, delivered locally. So it's been really difficult to Uberize, so to speak. People are trying to Uberize everything, and home cleaning and painting and carpet cleaning and carpentry and plumbing and all these sorts of different services for your home have been very difficult to Uberize because of the personal nature of the relationship you have with the people who are coming into your home.
Yeah, you said two
it's
things.
It's not the kind of thing that, I'm sorry.
Oh, no. You said two things that I found really interesting there. One, Uberize. I've never really heard the term Uber kind of turn into an adjective before, but I like it. And two, I mean, really with regards to just like future and technology and everything's all robots and animation, but it really does come down to people. And like you're saying, like that operator, I mean, is a human being and not a machine. So that's really, really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, what we find is that the number one component of, and there have been a few articles written about this nationally, but there are the number one component in a relationship for a home service provider is trust, and trust trumps convenience every time. So Amazon may be offering a really convenient platform to book your home services, but the minute you have a relationship with a service provider that you trust, you're going to leave the platform and just deal directly with the service provider, because the trust that you have with that service provider trumps the convenience of being able to book it through this national retailer.
Yeah, I love that line. Trust trumps convenience every time. That's fantastic. Mm. All right. So what role does your brand play in the operation of your business?
So our brand, well, I hope, this is what I hope my brand does. I'm fairly confident that we do this pretty well. Our brand, the goal of our branding is to convey, without having to say it, we want to convey thoughtfulness and mindfulness, and therefore that trust that I was talking about. So what I want from our brand is someone to look at it and feel like this company is thoughtful. This company is mindful with the way that they treat my home and the way that they are in my home. And, you know, I trust this company to come into my home. And another thing I really want our brand to do, and I think we do this pretty well based on the feedback that we get, is I really want people to see our brand and feel a sense of relief or a sense of relaxation. That's something that I feel like an important part of the service that we're providing is we're taking the burden of cleaning your house off of you so you can focus on more important things. And so I want that sense of burden and that sense of a burden being relieved to be a big part of our brand. And I think we're doing that pretty well.
From what I've seen, it definitely is projecting that. So good work.
Yeah, thank you. And I think the importance of the brand there is it allows us to keep telling our story all the time. And that's why that brand is so important. And our brand continues through into, we just moved into a new office space, and I'm very excited about it because moving into a new space, it's much larger, and it's given us the opportunity to even brand our office. So the brand experience, you know, comes through both the consumer side and the employee side. So, you know, we've worked a lot this year on making sure that our brand permeates the entire experience of being with the company as an employee, not just as a client.
So really making the brand part of the culture of the company.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's fantastic. All right, let's shift gears here and move into some networking related questions. Can you share with me your most successful or favorite networking experience that you've had?
Yeah, I'll pick a recent one. So I was in an entrepreneurship program in this spring called Top Gun, and it's run by the Maine Center for Entrepreneurial Development. And there was myself and about 40 other entrepreneurs from around the state were in this cohort of students that happens once a year. And we were all learning how to focus our business and focus our plans for growth, and also how to pitch the business to funders and to investors and to possible collaborators, partners, / advisors. So there was the whole semester-long program ended with a pitch competition, which was really cool and fun and exciting. And through this program, I got connected with so many really inspiring entrepreneurs from around the state, and also some great advisors from around the state too, who I would have never otherwise been connected with. And not just people who advise for a living, but, you know, bankers and investors and old business owners who are, you know, now mentoring to give back, and all different kinds of doors had been opened. But what was really exciting and how this relates to networking is I actually was fortunate enough to make it to the final round of the pitch competition. And my co-finalist, after we had done our pitches, she pulls me aside and she says, "Hey, you know, part of the pitch I was giving was that I was looking for management help." That was part of the pitch I was giving to these like hundreds of people. And she pulled me aside and said, "Hey, you really ought to talk to my sister-in-law, because she is working for a hotel right now and is really looking for another opportunity." And because in my pitch, I said, I need experienced managers to help manage the new divisions of my company and things like that. So I ended up connecting with this individual, and she is now my my general manager. And that was an incredible networking experience that would have never happened if I hadn't done that program.
Well, first off, thank you so much for sharing that great story with us. And, you know, the other thing I wanted to say is, you know, you put out to the universe what you need, and you have a better chance of actually getting it. Isn't that funny?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
You know, if you just sit there,
stand on a stage and tell 200 people that you're looking for a manager, and lo and behold, you will find one.
It's that easy. No, but that's fantastic. And really, I mean, you have, like you said, the 200 people, that opportunity is an amazing opportunity, it sounds like, but you obviously reaped some huge reward out of it. So congrats on that.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. That was great.
All right. So you have this, you know, network of 200 people in this entrepreneur program, plus I'm sure you've got quite a customer base in Maine. How do you stay in front of or best nurture your network or community?
Well, I guess one easy way is, so something that I like doing is I'm always thinking of other people. So if I see an article or something online or something and think of someone in my network, someone who I've met, either a client of mine or someone I've met, another business owner or what have you, I'll just shoot them a quick email or, you know, a quick message on LinkedIn just saying, "Hey, saw this and thought of you." Or, you know, I have a lot of my clients' names by heart, and so if I see them mentioned in the paper, because we actually clean for a lot of really interesting people who do really interesting things around the state. So if I happen to see their name in the paper, they've opened a store, have a new business venture, or they've been elected to office, or they're being recognized in some way, shape, or form, I'll just shoot them a note and just, you know, say, "Congratulations, read the article today, looks great." Quick things like that, you know. And that's one thing that I do that I feel really goes a long way to kind of keep the network active. And then for me, it's staying active in things in my community that I'm passionate about. And for me, that's what networking is really, that's how I get my network on, as I volunteer with different things in the community. Like, we have a independent business alliance in town. It's a Portland by local effort, and I volunteer with them, and I'm active there, and because it's something that I care about, you know, supporting small independent businesses is something that I care about. And the same thing would go with being involved with entrepreneurship programs that are available in the state. So I'll to be on a panel discussion or go, you know, be a judge for some kind of competition or something like that. And I make sure and respond to those and stay active and say yes to that type of stuff, because I think it's really fun. And it also keeps me, it just keeps the network going, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you attend one event because you knew one person, and you meet, you know, three or four or five more new people there, and they invite you to the next event. And it's kind of this fantastic chain reaction. But I love how you're staying active in the community. I mean, that speaks so true to even your brand and, you know, some of the discussion that we had earlier, and how that kind of tied into delivering local. Like, everything is so local, and obviously putting big emphasis in your community just resonates with that. So that's awesome.
Yeah. And, you know, and something else that I really enjoy, and I mean, to me, networking is just fun. And something I really, and when it's really fun for me, is connecting other people. So, you know, I volunteer with things that I am passionate about and that I really care about. And I really like matching people up. And I'm not talking about, you know, playing romantic matchmaker or anything. I'm just talking about both personally and professionally. If I meet two people and I see that they have some kind of synergy, then I can't wait to introduce them to each other. You know, for example, I just introduced someone who does design and is looking to work with businesses who are passionate about their craft with a local beer brewer. And, you know, because they were looking for someone to design their website. And it was just, I just met these two people within an hour of each other. And I was like, you have to talk. And, you know, they're going to be having coffee next week, and hopefully something comes of that relationship. But I love making those connections, because I just see it happen so often that the two people with a synergy are so much more powerful than each of them acting on their own. And so it's just really cool to see. And, yeah. And another thing that happened is that was synergistic. I'll give you another example that was great. That was a lot of fun, was the publishing company I used to work for, selling advertising, was looking to expand their business and looking for additional streams of revenue. And the Portland by Local movement, who I was involved with, was struggling to put out this annual, like, Portland by Local directory guide. And I said, you know, why don't you team up with this publisher and have the publisher put out the guide, and, you know, they take a cut of the profits, and then it's off your hands. And, you know, I helped to sort of make that connection happen. And I just love doing that. It's so fun to watch those kinds of things blossom. And they're still working together. That was, like, you know, 2009, and they're still working together today. So I love that part of networking. It's fun.
Oh yeah, no, I do too. And I can seriously hear that passion in your voice when you say, like, you guys need to meet, or I love that part of networking. Like, that's so awesome. And I mean, you're speaking such, you know, authentic words right here. And, you know, I appreciate that. So fantastic. I love it.
Thank you.
Okay. So that being said, what advice would you offer to the business professional who is looking to grow their network?
Yeah, so, I mean, find things that you're passionate about and start there. So, I mean, I do think that networking for networking's sake has value, but I chose networking and focus my attention and energy on groups and organizations in which I have a personal or professional interest. So there are some things that I love because of the business benefit of being involved with them, and some things I love because I think they're both important, because they kind of meld together. So I would say just start with something you're passionate about, and through doing something that you love, you can make valuable business contacts. You just have to not be afraid to, you know, ask for emails and phone numbers and mesh up with people. But it's going to be easy if you're in an environment that you're already passionate about. It'll be easy to do that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's...
But it doesn't have to be... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, no. I was going to say that's super simple advice. I mean, it's start with a passion. Like you said, it's easy to just start with what you know.
Yeah, I mean, the first networking I ever did was at my church as a kid. You know, I grew up in a Catholic church, and there's a part in Catholic Mass where you have to say, you're asked to like go around and say peace be with you to people and shake their hands. So if anybody listening grew up Catholic, you'll know what I'm talking about. And it was great because it taught me from the time I was a child to do the very simple thing of walking up to someone and shaking their hand. And so, but you'd meet a lot of people doing that, right? So it was like, you know, in your faith, that's another, if you're the kind of person that goes to church, that's another great place to network and make contacts. But yes, it's got to be something that you're passionate about. I think that's a great way to start. I do have a couple of books, actually, if anybody's a reader out there. I have a couple of books that I would like to recommend if I could.
Sure. Why don't you recommend them?
Yeah, well, I'm like a, you know, leadership development junkie, so I'm always reading books about various things. But there's a great one called Dig Your Well Before You're Thirsty by Harvey McKay. Have you heard of that?
I have not, but I'm writing it down right now.
Harvey McKay is a guru of sales and that kind of thing. And basically, Dig Your Well Before You're Thirsty is a great primer to kind of, I don't know, it got me pumped up about just going out and networking. And it's important. You got to keep doing it, even if you don't feel like it sometimes, you know. So that's a great one. And then there's another one written by Diane Darling, who's out of Boston, and it's called The Networking Survival Guide. And The Networking Survival Guide is a great book if you are like nervous about networking or not quite sure what to do exactly with your network or networking. And she gives really easy to use, easily, quickly actionable advice to kind of kick off your networking. So those are two good ones.
That's fantastic. I'll definitely include those in the show notes for our listeners.
Great.
Thank you for sharing those. I'm going to take a hunch on how you're going to answer this, but I'm going to ask it anyways. Digital networking or traditional networking? Which one do you prefer?
See previous answer. No, traditional for sure. I nothing beats when it comes to networking for me. And, you know, I don't know, Lori, if that's just the business I'm in, or, you know, maybe if I were in your business, I might view that a little differently. But for me, traditional networking is where it's at.
Well, especially when you're talking about being local and being involved in your community. I mean, that's really all about traditional. So, and knowing that your audience and your customer base is very localized, it would make sense that traditional is kind of, you know, where your focus is on. So that definitely makes sense. All right. So here's a fun one. If you could go back to your 20-year-old self, what would you tell yourself to do more of, less of, or differently with regards to your professional career?
Boy, what a question. I think probably I would have gone into business for myself sooner. So I would have said something to myself. I would have said something to my 20-year-old self, like, trust in your ability to work things out. And you know that your path involves creating your own work or creating your own business. So what value are you truly going to see in waiting to do that? So I would have just advised myself to jump in sooner.
Oh, I really, really like that. Trust in your ability to figure it out.
it's
a good statement. I like that. I mean, that's the reality of what I like to call the roller coaster of running a business, and the roller coaster of life is really all about figuring it out. So,
I also think that people have an incredible capacity to figure it out. You know, I mean, there's just that it's pretty amazing if you just set your mind to something, what you can do. So I really believe that.
All right. Another fun one here. We've all heard of the 6 degrees of separation. Now, who would be the one person you'd love to connect with? And do you think you can do it within the 6th degree?
Oh, boy. You really make these tougher as we go, Lori. At the moment, I'm working on 2 major themes in my personal and professional development. So one involves money and the other involves mindfulness. So when it comes to the money part, you know, who the heck would I want to meet? But I think one thing I'm working on is trying to shift my thinking around financial wealth and money to a place where money is truly working for me, instead of me working for money. And this is a really difficult transition because my whole life I've held this belief that working and creating a living for myself has to be hard. And I don't know if you've ever felt that way before, but I know I do.
Yes.
Like this is going to be so hard. So, you know, but I'm at this really interesting place where I've built my current business to a point where it can kind of run itself. And it's opened my eyes to the fact that doing well doesn't necessarily have to be a struggle. So I'm coming to this understanding, and I'm sort of in the process of this right now. So, you know, my thoughts aren't totally complete, but I really think that doing well and becoming wealthy and successful and creating a large enterprise can be fun if you learn to play to your strengths and get really good at building teams. So I'm basically just questioning all of my assumptions around how wealth is created. And I really want to learn to be the type of person who creates wealth and benefits the community on a larger scale than I've been doing so far. So I guess thinking about that, I would like to connect with somebody who has done that already. So, you know, on the national level, someone like Warren Buffett would be really cool because he's basically built an empire by investing, which I find really interesting, you know. And then there's several local people who's I hear about here and there, you know, whose names pop up now and again, who just seem to have built, you know, kind of this business and real estate empire from basically nothing. People and the kind of people you hear about that own half of downtown and that kind of thing. And, you know, I'd be interested in meeting the ones who have done this, but stuck to some really, really great core values, you know, because those people do exist. Not every, you know, there are a lot of really interesting people who have really cool core values about, you know, giving back to community and providing good jobs and like that kind of thing, but have also built great financial wealth. So
let's push that out there on the
well. I do have one other person though that I have to mention. Well, I have one other person I have to mention though.
Okay.
Can I? If I can just there. So the other thing that I'm working on, besides changing the way that I think about money and wealth creation, is I'm also working on mindfulness. So I've been doing all kinds of reading about mindfulness at work and, you know, becoming more mindful, and I've been meditating on and off for like a year and change. But more recently, I've done this commitment where I'm meditating for 30 days in a row. So I've really been thinking about this a lot. And so I think it will be really cool to meet someone who has influenced a lot of people in terms of bringing mindfulness into the world. So since we're going big and, you know, this is Lori Hybe's podcast, I say, I just want to meet the Dalai Lama.
All right.
I don't know if he's on LinkedIn or what, but I wouldn't mind connecting with that guy. I bet you it'd be a pretty cool experience.
Well, you, like we said earlier, just let the universe know what you're looking for and hopefully it's going to come right back out there to you. That's fantastic. So regarding meditation, because I've been doing it for about a year and a half now too, and I love it. Are you using an app or anything?
Yeah, actually, there's a great app called Insight Timer. I feel like I'm dropping a lot of names. I want you to know that I am not on commission for any of these things I'm telling you about. But I do use an app called Insight Timer. It's free. I love it.
I've been using two of them. One is called Calm, and the other one is Headspace.
Oh, I've heard of Headspace before.
Headspace
is... I've heard it's really good.
It's really good for individuals who have never meditated before or those that just need some guidance. It's very much a step-by-step kind of tutorial to meditation, and I found it extremely helpful when I got started.
Oh, that's good. That's great. Yeah, I actually took a mindfulness leadership class about a year and a half ago, which is what got me started on it. So there's some great material out there about mindfulness specifically as it pertains to work. So Sharon Salzberg and Jon Kabat-Zinn are two great people for that, because there's a ton of people who will help you meditate, which is fantastic. But if, you know, people are interested in finding out, I mean, it's really helped me with focus and helped me be a better manager. And it really helped with, you know, anxiety around work or around personnel issues and things like that. I mean, it's been a pretty transformative thing for my life, really.
Yeah, I would agree with that, actually. When, you know, I was saying I was doing it on and off for about a year and a half, and for some reason, there was just this big hole where I wasn't doing it, and I've really kind of resurrected it the last few weeks, and it makes a big impact.
It does. It really does. It's pretty amazing.
All right, so we've gone down quite the rabbit hole of different conversations here, but that's what this is all about, you know, and really that's what networking is. It's just kind of having a discussion and on a common topic. So
yeah,
that's fantastic. I love where this conversation went. That being said, do you have any final words of advice to offer our listeners with regards to growing and supporting your network?
Well, have fun with it, I guess, would be my number one advice. Networking doesn't have to be going to some awkward networking event and handing out 50 business cards. I think that you can make networking a lot of fun and integrate it into your everyday life. And I think you do have to push yourself. You know, I think you do have to push yourself to get out there and do some networking. But I don't think that it has to be an awkward thing or a difficult thing, especially if you avail yourself of some of the resources that are out there. You know, and as far as like the books that I mentioned are great, they've really helped me. And yeah, just you got to get out there and have fun with it and make it something that fits naturally for you. And also don't forget to water the tree. You have to make sure to keep the network going, you know, by quick emails or touching base, like I was talking about, like I get on LinkedIn or shoot a quick email to people just to kind of keep it active.
I like that. Water the tree. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Have fun, push yourself, and water the tree. Those are great, great, great pieces of advice here. All right, Joe. So if anyone was interested in getting in contact with you, what is the best way they can reach you?
Probably the two ways. You can find me on LinkedIn. You can always find me there. And I'm pretty sure you said you'd be able to post a link to my LinkedIn profile.
Yeah, we'll add that in the show notes.
Great. You can also find my company on the web. It's greencleanmaine.com and submit something that way. You know, those are two great ways to get in touch with me.
Awesome. We'll definitely include those links in the show notes. And Joe, thank you so much for joining us today. This is a great conversation.
Yeah. Thank you for having me, Lori. This has been a lot of fun.
Awesome. This wraps up our episode of Social Capital. A huge thank you to Joel Walsh for taking the time to connect with us. Join us next week for another great guest as we continue the conversation on networking and building your community. If you need me, please send an email to Lori@socialcapitalpodcast.com. Otherwise, we'll see you next week.
That's all for this episode of the Social Capital Podcast. Be sure to visit socialcapitalpodcast.com for show notes, more episodes, and to check out our free ebooks on business and networking.